right. He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is the December the 4th live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Stephen Gunderson. I guess by default, you're vice president.
Yeah.
And we have a pretty nice day here starting off. Well, the news happened Friday after the market closed. In fact, late. Was it Saturday morning or was it Friday night? I'm not quite
sure.
Friday
night.
We got the news that the Senate finally passed that tax package, and I knew the market would be up pretty strongly today. It's funny, though. The NASDAQ's down today.
The NASDAQ just went negative.
The NASDAQ is down 2 points right now to 6,845, but look at that Dow. They want blue-chip stocks right now. The Dow is up 291 points. That's a 1.2% move. And that puts the Dow 30 at 24,522.
Maybe 25,000 by the end of the year?
I think so. S&P 500 up 17 today, 2,659. I think that rotation continues maybe out of tech. The rebalancing is taking place.
And yep.
I wrote about that in my newsletter over the weekend. Are they rebalancing just to be rebalancing? Or are they chasing where the best upside potential is? Well, we'll talk about that today. Crude oil is down 71 cents, $57.65. Gold is down $4.20 to $12.74. Gold just can't get too far from $1,300, it seems. And silver can't get too far from $16 per ounce. It's down 4 cents to $16.25. The euro's at 1.18. We're seeing a little move higher today in interest rates. If you're looking to refinance or lock in a loan, interest rates have been drifting higher here over the last week. We have the 10-year today at 2.40%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. I'm here in our Carlsbad studios, the BSN studios. I'm here with live with Stephen Gunderson. We watched quite a crazy day last Friday. Of course, we're getting that big bounce in the market today because of the Senate. Believe it or not, John McCain, who's the gal? Susan Collins, Maine.
Yep.
Even she came along. It was really the only one that I know of that voted
Corker
no
was the only
Corker.
No. Yeah.
And I watched a woman over the weekend that's going to run for Corker's seat in the Senate. I like her, too. I can't think of her name right now. She's a congresswoman. That will be running for Corker's seat. Corker does not plan on continuing in the Senate, and I think we can celebrate that, I guess. I don't know. Well, we had that crazy. I want to talk about Friday.
It was crazy.
We had a freaky Friday.
Yeah.
At one time, the market was down 350 points. At one time, was it up?
Yeah, it started up like 30, I think.
That's correct.
And then it plunged all the way down to minus 350.
Because I remember Thursday night, the futures were down 100, thinking that they wouldn't pass the Senate tax reform, the reform bill in the Senate. And then to throw gasoline on the fire, lighter fluid, was Michael Flynn.
Yep.
But well, who really threw gasoline on the fire?
It was an erroneous report in ABC.
Yeah, ABC News, it was Brian Ross at ABC News, and this was early in the trading day on Friday. So we had known by that point in time that McCain was on board, and it really looked like the Senate was going. We would have probably had this plus 250 day, 300 day on Friday. But when Michael Flynn pleaded guilty, and ABC News followed up with a report that Michael Flynn, in exchange for his guilty plea and getting off fairly lightly, he was prepared to testify on a collusion between President Trump and Russia.
Yeah, that Trump had, or someone high up in the campaign had ordered Michael Flynn to contact Russia.
And CNN ran with it.
And they didn't say that he meant to say, oh, well, he told him that after he already got elected.
Yes, that's
which
a
isn't
big
a problem.
Difference. That's a huge, huge difference, okay? Yeah. But that sent the market down 350 points on Friday. An
yeah, that's
erroneous
a big deal.
Report.
If it would have been true, it would have been a big deal.
So the guy gets suspended for 4 weeks without pay for his erroneous story that Michael Flynn was prepared to testify on a collusion between Trump and Russia. So, you know what? Look, we put up with a lot in the market. We come home at night. Sometimes we're beat up. We're stressed out. The Dow's now up 300 points, by the way. Is the NASDAQ positive or is it still negative?
Down 4.
Now, that's incredible. It's sector rotation in December. That's what's taking place. The mutual funds are rebalancing. But I still say that the best value and the best growth is in the tech stocks. We looked last week and we put a couple of stocks side by side. We put J.P. Morgan side by side with, I want to say, Broadcom. I say, why would I want to rebalance out of Broadcom and into J.P. Morgan? That makes no sense to me. Well, anyways, now they've got two bills. They've got the House bill, which was passed several weeks ago. They've got the Senate bill, which was passed some point in time on Friday. This would lower the corporate tax from 35% to 20%. Now, I don't know what it does for an S-corp like mine. We may have to become a C-corp in order to take advantage of that 15%, those 15 basis points, 150 basis points downwards. We'll have to see with that. The vote was 51 to 49, only Tennessee's Bob Corker. Can you imagine this guy? What an idiot. I'm just going to call him an idiot.
Well, he's got a lot of people to answer to in Tennessee,
yes,
would think.
Well, he's not running again, so what the heck, you know? May as well go out with a stiff neck and a hard heart, Corker. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Now, what has to happen now is they have to reconcile the two bills. It's also important to note that in my newsletter now, starting last Friday, did we get the newsletter out on Friday?
We did.
We did, as promised. And I had the whole weekend off. That was nice.
That's nice.
I had a very relaxing weekend, spent a lot of time with my wife, had a beautiful time with her. Now, they've got to reconcile these two bills. But let's go back to the earnings estimates for the S&P 500. I am still reflecting a 25% tax rate in my earnings estimates. And I came out with a pretty lofty target price for the S&P 500 on Friday, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Now, that's based on 2019. Okay, I have a target price for next year, 2018, and that will be updated every week. But we are now publishing, for the first time, our 2019 projections. And it's based on a 25% tax rate. And if it goes to 20%, not only are the earnings estimates going to go higher from me, but also the target price is going to go higher. Now, I'm the guy who at the beginning of the year said this S&P is going to make about $133 per share. That was at the beginning of the year, Stephen. And it looks like as of now, we're going to come in at about $132 per share.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Pretty dang close.
That's within 2 or 3% margin of error. And I'm the guy who said that the market will trade at about 18 times earnings. Therefore, without a tax cut, this market will get to 2,400 this year. Well, it did.
I actually think we used 20% in the newsletter, not 25.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I'm looking at it right now.
We did take it to 20.
Mm-hmm. But we were very conservative on our numbers.
Yeah, we were very conservative on it. I think there's upside to my current numbers. So if I'm the guy who at the beginning of the year said $132 in earnings and it's going to come in, I said $133 in earnings and it's going to come in at $132, just a dollar off. So now I've got my 2018 estimates out there. Without the tax cut, yeah, we went from 35 to 20. But you know what? That's a typo. It's 25.
You sure?
That's a typo.
I think we added a little bit to it.
No,
we went
10% higher on the earnings estimates, remember? Just 10%. Okay. And that was based on a 25% tax rate. So I have to correct that in the newsletter this weekend. Now we have our numbers out for this year. That's important. And we have our numbers out now for next year. 2019. Because believe it or not, 2018 begins in just 3 weeks.
Yeah.
All right. And so now the Senate and the House, they have to get their two bills together because there's differences. It looks like Tesla's a winner so far in this. You know why?
Why?
The $7,500 tax credit.
Is staying?
Yeah, it's going to stay. Now, where I don't know where they came in on the state and local taxes deduction.
It's still in there.
We'll still be able to deduct
that? No, we won't be able to.
We won't be able to. But the property tax, because of Collins, was raised to $10,000, I want to say, or kept at $10,000, where you
property
can,
tax.
You can deduct your property taxes, your state property taxes, but not your state income taxes. All right, when we come back, we got to talk about Bitcoin. We got to talk about other cryptocurrencies. We got to talk about Aetna, a stock that we own, being bought out today. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer, mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
Would you like to ask Bill Gunderson a question on the air? Perhaps your investments aren't doing as well as you think they should, or you have an individual stock, index, or mutual fund that you'd like him to discuss. Well, this is your opportunity to hear him answer your question live on the Best Stocks Now radio show. Simply email your question to us by going to the contact page at GundersonCapital.com or call us at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-2378. And we'll select a question or two each week to be read live on the air. Please leave your name and city when asking a question, and you'll be a part of the weekly Ask Bill segment on the Bill Gunderson Radio Show. If your question is chosen to be read on the air, we'll send you an autographed copy of Bill's book, Best Stocks Now. So go to GundersonCapital.com or record your question 24 hours a day at 855-611-BEST. What's your question?
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com. We'll be right back.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio. You know, you always have to talk a little bit about Bitcoin. Bitcoin soared to $12,000 Friday and Saturday, and then it swooned back to $11,200. You know, I mean, this thing is all over the place. The United Kingdom government plans for a regulatory crackdown on the cryptocurrency. More news there is that the Chicago Board of Exchange, how's my CBOE stock doing today? That's one of the best stocks I've ever owned in my entire life, CBOE. I got to believe it's down. No,
down
well, it
bit.
Was up, but now it's down 1%. It was hitting new highs. Is that a chart?
That's a nice looking
That's
chart.
That's a great chart. Well, the Chicago Board of Exchange will begin trading futures on Bitcoin on Sunday evening, December the 10th. So we'll see what Bitcoin's doing next Monday. They'll trade under the symbol XBT, the futures will. Now, here's what worries me about all of this. All of these cryptocurrencies now, there's many other cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin is not the other one. IOTA is now up more than 70% in the last 24 hours and is now the fifth largest digital currency. Sparking a move was an announcement that the IOTA Foundation, which is a German nonprofit which oversees IOTA, has partnered with Microsoft, Samsung, and Fujitsu on a blockchain-based marketplace. I'm not a currency trader. I never have been a currency trader. The only currency trader I ever knew went bust. Okay? He went bust. And he lost all his family's retirement money. He was managing money for the whole family. And he lost everything. So I am not a currency trader. I'm a market stock equity guy. And a bond guy, if the bond market is in good shape. But I'm just refuse right now to get involved in any of this currency. Now, to even make matters worse, okay, would you buy a cryptocurrency backed by Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro?
No.
Well, he has now announced the launch of the Petro, a cryptocurrency backed by oil and gas reserves. You know what I'm seeing in all of this? I'm seeing it as a fantastic way to launder money.
Yeah.
Because in North Korea, you've got Un laundering money and using Bitcoin to get around. He's been frozen out of the world banking markets, correct? So how does he get around it? And, of course, China mines 80% of the Bitcoins, and China has not exactly cracked down on North Korea like they should. And now you see another rogue leader, worldwide leader, and Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, seeing what North Korea did to get around all of their freezing out of the financial markets. Well, I know that there's sanctions against Venezuela, and they're frozen out. So what's he going to do? He's going to launch a cryptocurrency. So you really want to invest in these cryptocurrencies? Not me.
Gosh, did you see GBTC again today?
How about Riot?
Yeah.
R-I-O-T. Those are the two that we watch because these are publicly traded that anybody can buy. Yeah, GBTC is hitting a new high. That's the exchange-traded note. It's an ETN, not an ETF, that corresponds to the Bitcoin market price. So if you're a Bitcoin aficionado and this is your shot to the moon for you, well, be my guest. GBTC is hitting $1,765 per share today. What did it start the year at?
Like 150? 150 around there.
So it's an 11-bagger, a 12-bagger, up 1,200% so far since the beginning of the year. You want to speculate? There you go, GBTC. And the other one, of course, is Riot, which is the blockchain one that's linked to the blockchain. It's up 4% today. It began the year at 4. Today it's hitting 15. All right, now, TD Ameritrade will offer Bitcoin futures. So you and I can buy Bitcoin futures.
There we go.
When we become, when Scottrade buys out Ameritrade, or when Ameritrade buys out Scottrade, it already has been approved. It's already happened. I don't know if the money's changed hands. Do you think Roger Reiney's got the $4 billion in his pocket yet?
I don't know. Some of it.
The government's going to get a big chunk of that change because I'm sure he's got a huge, huge, huge capital gain. Meanwhile, look at Ameritrade stock today, AMTD, which we own in our income account. Our income account's having a very good day because this is a blue chip rally right now. The financials, which will benefit from the corporate cut in the corporate tax rate. But, you know, the tech stocks benefit too. They're going to be able to bring back that money, which is a part of the tax reform. So even though the tech stocks are right now not really participating in this giant market move, to me, they still have the most upside potential and the best growth and the best PEG ratios going forward. And I'll give you some examples in the second half of the show. Now, we have another stock in our income and growth portfolio. Check out Aetna today, AET, which has been on the move recently, hitting new all-time highs. And, of course, they're being bought out by CVS. We have a CVS in our neighborhood, Stephen. In fact, you know, if you go in there, they have a little minute clinic. You go in there and you can get diagnosed, and then you can go right to their aisles and buy the remedies that you need, or go back to their pharmacy and get the drugs that you need. But I would say it's a very basic service. Cut my finger, things like that. They can't prescribe like painkillers and narcotics and sleeping drugs and Ambien and things like that. But with CVS buying Aetna, which is a managed healthcare provider, it's pretty obvious that they're going to ramp up their services. They'll probably have, urgent care?
Yeah.
I see the CVSs saying, you know what? And here's my issue with CVS. I can go to the grocery store right behind them, Vons.
Get anything you need.
I can pick up all my groceries, and I can get all of my, you know, CVS-type stuff, Band-Aids, aspirin, shampoo, this kind of thing, all right? So I don't see how a CVS really survives. Now, they have a little bit of food and stuff. I think CVS is smart in going this route. So, you know, there's a lot of times, do you really want to call up and make an appointment with your healthcare provider and blah, 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 go through your primary physician and all of this? When you could go online, schedule an appointment at your local CVS, which has the pharmacy, which has all the remedies, which has the doctors standing on call right there, probably 24/7, right? You ever been to an emergency room at 1 in the morning?
I have not.
Well, my wife broke her ankle, almost, did very bad damage, and we go to the emergency room. 8 hours later, we're finally seen by a doctor, right? And he says, you know, there's not much we can do. Take a couple aspirin, go home, put her in a brace. Well, I see CVS filling in a very, very big role there with this purchase of Aetna, which, of course, has to be approved. All right, when we come back, some best stocks now. It's Bill Gunderson and Stephen Gunderson. We'll be right back.
When you lose power for a whole day due to a storm, it can seem endless. But there's a new kind of storm brewing, one that could target our nation's power grid and turn off the power not just for days, but months or even longer. Would you be prepared? Veteran news anchor Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out, details this exact scenario. It's why many Americans are securing their own solar-powered generators to provide an endless supply of life-saving electricity without gas, fumes, or noise. When it comes to lightweight and powerful solar generators, the breakthrough Patriot Power Generator 1500 has it all, providing up to 1,500 continuous watts of clean, quiet, and free renewable solar power. You'll be able to power heat and lights, preserve food, recharge cell phones and computers, and keep critical medical devices going day after day, all from rechargeable solar power. If a blackout strikes, be protected with the power you need when you need it most. The Patriot Power Generator 1500. For all of the details, just go to blackout26.com. That's blackout26.com. blackout26.com.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
Would you like to ask Bill Gunderson a question on the air? Perhaps your investments aren't doing as well as you think they should, or you have an individual stock, index, or mutual fund that you'd like him to discuss. Well, this is your opportunity to hear him answer your question live on the Best Stocks Now radio show. Simply email your question to us by going to the contact page at GundersonCapital.com or call us at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-2378. And we'll select a question or two each week to be read live on the air. Please leave your name and city when asking a question, and you'll be a part of the weekly Ask Bill segment on the Bill Gunderson Radio Show. If your question is chosen to be read on the air, we'll send you an autographed copy of Bill's book, Best Stocks Now. So go to GundersonCapital.com or record your question 24 hours a day at 855-611-BEST. What's your question?
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com. There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. You're listening to Bill Gunderson, Stephen Gunderson. We begin a new week in the market. We're off to a booming start in the Dow and a flat start in the tech stocks. And I addressed that in my newsletter over the weekend, this rotation issue that's taking place. You know, it's just math that these big institutions, let's take a T. Rowe Price or a Fidelity or a Vanguard, or any of the big institutions that manage a lot of money, the index funds, et cetera. Well, they've seen a massive increase in their tech exposure during this past 11 months because tech has performed better. And the financials and the energy stocks, for instance, and the insurance stocks have lagged, okay?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we're seeing massive amount of money going into the financials and the insurance stocks and the energy stocks. Why? Because they're rebalancing. And where are they pulling the money from to increase their exposure to the financials, the insurance, and the energy stocks?
All the high flyers.
Sure. They're pulling the money from, and this happens at the beginning of December, usually, maybe the first half of December. They're rebalancing. Let's just say, for instance, that they began the year with a 20% exposure to technology. It could possibly be a 30% exposure, right?
Yeah.
Right now. And let's say they began with a 15% exposure to financials. Well, proportionally, they still may be or may have gone down to a 12% exposure. So what do they have to do? They have to sell a big chunk of their tech to buy some financials and some energy and some insurance to rebalance. And I made the argument last week that why would I want to sell Facebook and buy JP Morgan? Just to rebalance? Yeah. That doesn't make sense to me. But I understand why the big institutions have to do that. They can't get too heavily weighted. It's called risk management. Well, why don't you do risk management, Gunderson? Do you want me to sell your Facebook and buy JP Morgan? Is that what you want me to do? Compare the growth rates of JP Morgan. We did this last week. Facebook is 114% per year growth over the last 5 years. JP Morgan's been 4% growth over the last 5 years. When we look at the PEG ratios going forward, which suggests future performance, we still see a right around 1 PEG ratio for Facebook and about a 3 PEG ratio for JP Morgan. I can't bring myself to lower my exposure to Facebook or to Broadcom or whatever. I'm going to stick with these stocks as long as the valuations remain the most lucrative from my point of view. And I don't see lucrative valuations in the banks. Oh, some financials. We have a pretty good, strong exposure to the financials. But would you say that If you looked at the S&P 500 and how it's weighted, are we underweight the financials?
Yes.
Yes. Are we overweight technology?
Yes.
Should I say we need to bring them into balance with one another? See, I don't have to do that as an individual boutique money manager, but the big guys, they have to do all of that. Now, here's the scary part of all of this, all right? Most shops, like ours, are asset allocators. What do they allocate between? What are the two main asset classes that they allocate between?
Stocks and bonds.
Are we overweight stocks?
Yes.
Are we underweight bonds?
Absolutely.
What is our exposure to bonds?
Zero.
Zero. Well, my friends, I would say that the average firm like mine across America is probably about 50-50. Let's just say the average age of their client is 50 years old. Ours is probably a little older than that.
Yeah, I would say the average age is older than that.
Because we got to include Sarasota. I'm just kidding. No knock on Sarasota. I think our Seattle people are a little younger. I mean, people don't retire to Seattle or Minneapolis. They leave Minneapolis and retire to Florida,
Sarasota.
Right? So probably our youngest clientele is up in the Minnesota area. They're a little hardier. They're hardy folk. I love those folks, our folks up in Minnesota. I love our Atlanta folks. I love all of our folks. But there definitely is a difference in demographics. My wife can attest to this. She was at our Seattle workshops, and she was at our Sarasota workshop. And there's definitely a difference in demographics. Now, I would say that the average firm like ours in Florida, Stephen, has about 70% in the bond market.
Yeah.
Because probably the average age of their client is more like 70. All right. So that creates quite a conundrum this time of year because the stock market this year is up about 17 or 18%. The bond market, as measured by the 10-year treasury, is up about 2%. So what do they have to do this time of year? They have to make a major, of course, now they do it quarterly, supposedly, quarterly. They have, what do they have to buy massive amounts of to bring everything back into balance? The bond market.
Yeah.
They have to buy massive amounts of bonds, and they have to sell and lower massive amounts of stocks to bring their stock allocation down. That's called rebalancing. That's a computer formula. In fact, you can buy software. It's quite expensive. Instead of having to hire somebody to do all of this rebalancing at the end of the year, they can have the robo computer do it for you, for them. It will crawl through every single account, look at their new age, look at their current allocation of bonds versus stocks. And I mean, it's going to be buying stocks this time of year as we come to the quarter end. It's going to be selling stocks, and it's going to be buying bonds. And that's really what's keeping the interest rates low right now. I think interest rates are going to explode higher after the first of the year. If you want to do a refi, I would do it before the first of the year. Because once all of this rebalancing is done, you're not going to see that money coming into the bond market like you see under the guise of rebalancing. And that's what's going to happen. So anyways, I do not believe in rebalancing just to be rebalancing. We continue to be weighted 85%. Our other weighting is in cash. If we don't own stocks, what do we own?
Cash.
Cash, okay? We're looking for things to buy. And a lot of that cash that we hold right now are new accounts that have come to us that aren't fully invested yet.
Yeah. So the typical account has 5% cash.
5 to 10,
yeah,
right now, okay? And if you've just came to us, you might have 85% cash, as we put it. But as a firm right now, we're about 85% equities and 15% cash as a firm when you look at our aggregate money under management. Now, what kind of sectors, what kind of stocks are we liking right now? Well, I see some news here. This would give you one hint. I see that GM... We don't own GM, but General Motors now has a leading position in autonomous vehicle technology. Mm. Now, we take a look at the companies that provide this technology, don't we?
Yep.
You know, I was thinking, we were in Los Angeles. We took, on Saturday, we drove up to the San Fernando Valley area. 2 hours up the 405.
It'd be nice to have someone drive for you, huh?
Well, that's what I'm getting to, okay? And, of course, they're around UCLA and Santa Monica. It's a crawl.
Yeah.
As you enter into the canyon there, and then you come out on the other side, and you're in the San Fernando Valley. We took a bunch of people out to dinner there Saturday. We got done about 9 p.m., and we had to turn around and drive home for 2 hours. And I was talking to the fellow sitting across from me who is related to us and in through marriages, right, of our kids. And he's a skeptic on this whole autonomous thing. You know, he's my age, all right? I said, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get in my car. I'm going to set the address and, you know, pull in the garage, and I'm going to take a nap. And when I wake up, I'll be sitting in my garage at home. Do you think we'll ever see that day?
Yeah, I think so.
Instead, I toughed it out for 2 hours, going about 80 to 85, you know, between the carpool lane and the regular lanes and passing the drunks and the slow guys and watching for the guys that were weaving and bobbing. What would an autonomous car do if the guy in the lane next to me was drunk, which on a Saturday night there's plenty of that at 11 p.m., right, and started veering into my lane? What would my autonomous car do, Stephen?
It would try to avoid it.
You would hope so.
It would.
But would I ever...
But if there's a car next to you, there's only so much you can do.
Would I ever have the faith to take a nap in my autonomous car for 2 hours while it drove me home and pulled me into my garage?
Yeah, that's your decision.
Is that where we're coming? Is that where we're headed? Well, I do like this autonomous car revolution, and we're heavily invested. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the major players there. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
Would you like to ask Bill Gunderson a question on the air? Perhaps your investments aren't doing as well as you think they should, or you have an individual stock, index, or mutual fund that you'd like him to discuss. Well, this is your opportunity to hear him answer your question live on the Best Stocks Now radio show. Simply email your question to us by going to the contact page at GundersonCapital.com or call us at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-2378. And we'll select a question or two each week to be read live on the air. Please leave your name and city when asking a question. You'll be a part of the weekly Ask Bill segment on the Bill Gunderson Radio Show. If your question is chosen to be read on the air, we'll send you an autographed copy of Bill's book, Best Stocks Now. So go to GundersonCapital.com or record your question 24 hours a day at 855-611-BEST. What's your question?
When you lose power for a whole day due to a storm, it can seem endless. But there's a new kind of storm brewing, one that could target our nation's power grid and turn off the power not just for days, but months or even longer. Would you be prepared? Veteran news anchor Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out, details this exact scenario. It's why many Americans are securing their own solar-powered generators to provide an endless supply of life-saving electricity without gas, fumes, or noise. When it comes to lightweight and powerful solar generators, the breakthrough Patriot Power Generator 1500 has it all, providing up to 1,500 continuous watts of clean, quiet, and free renewable solar power. You'll be able to power heat and lights, preserve food, recharge cell phones and computers, and keep critical medical devices going day after day, all from rechargeable solar power. If a blackout strikes, be protected with the power you need when you need it most. The Patriot Power Generator 1500. For all of the details, just go to blackout26.com. That's blackout26.com. blackout26.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com. We'll be right back.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio. We still have that bifurcated market taking place where we have the Dow stocks, the blue chip stocks flying higher. And we have the tech stocks really lagging badly still. That's continuing into this week. And
down 28 now.
The Nasdaq's down 28?
Yeah.
Wow, that's surprising. What's the Dow up right now?
250.
That's a bifurcated market, all right. Well, you know, that's going to make, you know what else that's doing? All these guys that were way ahead of the average, the S&P, the averages are going higher, but a lot of the momentum stocks now are starting to, you know, trail badly. So we'll see. It's still going to come back to valuation. It always does. Look, in 2017, I kept saying all along, as it related to the overall market, here's what the market's worth. Did we hit that? And beyond, well, the same thing can be said for individual stocks. Here's what these stocks are worth. And even though they're selling off right now and they're under pressure, they eventually will come back to earnings. And I still find the most lucrative types of possibilities amongst the growth stocks with the peg ratios around one. So I'm staying the course. I'm not lowering my exposure yet. I still see a terrific upside potential, nor am I increasing my exposure. I'm not doing much rebalance. The market's rebalancing for us, I guess. It's increasing our financial exposure because they're going up, and our tech exposure is going down because tech has been selling off now for about the last couple of weeks here. Okay, I just want to mention three, four stocks here as it relates to the autonomous car. And then I want to move on to one of my favorite blue chip stocks right now. And you see the chart on that thing? That thing's breaking out. We made some good money in options earlier in the year on this. Of course, we're giving back our options plays right now because the tech stocks are really underperforming. And we have some options out on those things. Hopefully time will work it out. But right now, it looks pretty bleak on a few of the options that we have.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way the options
That's how the game crumble. Works.
That's how the game works, all right? We know that it's a very high-risk game. We still have a 25% gain for the year in that, what is it, the speculative portfolio. All right, as far as the autonomous car goes, you know, the players still remain the two bigger players. Well, Intel's a big player, obviously, because they own Mobileye. And STM, semiconductor, which, you know, look at the chart of that. How much has it sold off recently? Now, we're still almost have a triple in the stock since we bought it, but I'm not selling it. It's sitting right there on support. You see it sitting on its 50-day moving average at $22.05. They're a major player, a major player in the autonomous car with their semiconductors, this Netherlands semiconductor manufacturer. Okay, now I want to give a shout-out to our folks in Seattle. And I want to give a shout-out to our folks in Minnesota. Who did Minnesota beat yesterday?
The Falcons.
Minnesota's like, how many losses? They have three.
Two.
Two losses?
I'm pretty sure it's only two.
Now, we were there.
And they have Case Keenum as their quarterback.
I know. We were there in August, September timeframe. And we got our picture taken with the station manager, or the traffic manager, and
They're 10-2.
And one of the station, and one was wearing a Green Bay shirt, and one was wearing a Minnesota shirt.
Ooh.
Well, right now the one wearing the Minnesota shirt definitely can lord it all over the one wearing the Green Bay. Green Bay's about 50-50 this year, right?
Yeah, they're 6-6.
Yeah, and look at the year that Minnesota is having. They're a contender. Would you say they're a contender?
If you have a defense, you're always a contender.
Don't you see it coming down to Minnesota and the Eagles, maybe?
Yeah, those are the two best teams right now.
And then you got to throw in Seattle.
Seattle beat Philadelphia.
So they can beat them. So our Seattle folks in Seattle are pretty happy with their football team. What is Seattle's record? They're chasing
the
Rams,
seven
right?
7-5 now.
Yeah, one of the Rams, like 8-4 or something like that.
So, Rams are 9-3.
Yeah, okay. So Seattle's got to make the wild card.
Yeah, and the Seahawks are 8-4.
Yeah, so yeah, and I see Seattle being in the playoffs, and I see Minnesota's got a chance. Now, here's the interesting thing about Minnesota. Where's the Super Bowl this year?
Minnesota.
Uh-huh. Has there ever been a home team hosting the Super Bowl?
Not that I know of.
I can't remember it. Yeah. Anyways, something to think about. And while we're talking about Seattle, we're going to talk about Boeing. Now, when we were in Seattle, It rained the whole time we were there. That's nothing new. Okay. And Seattle, we had some great salmon, and we had some great clams and some oysters and some fish and chips and chowder, all the good stuff up in the Seattle area. Beautiful area, really beautiful. But a lot of rain. Look at Boeing today. You see Boeing hitting new all-time highs?
Yeah.
We own Boeing. We own Boeing in our premier growth portfolio. I want to say it's up about 50%. Well, here we've got Cowen saying that despite Boeing's 75%, you know, Boeing is up 75% this year?
That's crazy.
Oh, it's the top Dow performer for the year. So should we rebalance? Should we sell or lower our exposure to Boeing? Well, I wonder what the worst performer in the Dow this year is. I'd have to think about that for a moment. It's got to be one of the big retail. Yeah, take a look at the list.
Let's
there.
See here.
Is Target in the Dow?
No.
Well, anyways, Cowen, while you're looking that up, Cowen believes that Boeing could get a boost from price concessions following the merger of United Technologies and Rockwell Collins. Cowen rates Boeing a buy with a $320 target price, and Boeing today is sitting at $280. Hey, that's pretty good. That would give the stock another 18% upside potential for 2018. For this year, Boeing looks poised to easily beat its orders total from 2016 as it enters December. In other words, they're getting record orders over at Boeing. But Boeing would need to finalize nearly 100 orders by year-end to equal its expected delivery total of 760 to 765. So there's 765 more commercial aircraft from Boeing this year flying in the air.
Merck. How about Merck?
Okay, Merck is the... Merck.
That's
is
the biggest loser I see.
So let's lower our exposure to Boeing and increase our exposure to Merck, right? And Merck was that CEO that gave Trump all kinds of trouble and everything. Merck is run by a very kind of liberal type of...
Although Merck is having a good day, so I wonder if people
well,
are actually
doing
it. Well,
there you go. Okay, they're rebalancing. But Boeing's having a good day, too.
Yeah,
look at Merck. Oh, that's an awful chart.
Yep.
Well, isn't GE in the Dow? Come on, wait a minute.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, yeah, GE you're too. Leaving out our friends at GE. Yeah. There's your worst performer. And who said it would be? I did. And who said the best performer in the Dow would be Boeing? I did. Well, if you want to put us to work for you, check out the newsletter. It comes out every Friday now at GundersonCapital.com. And if you're sick of rebalancing, how about calling us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.